Welcome, everybody. Good evening. I'm also going to, here we are. I'm also going to share the screen. And our topic for tonight is family. We're going from the serious, from tshuva to family and fun. How do we enrich and engage our family this Yom Tov, whether or not we are together, whether or not we are a family of grandparents, whether we are a family with young children, at all developmental phases, how do we create a Yom Tov that will allow us to feel connected and enriched and engaged, despite the components that we know will be very different than what we expected. However you're going to spend the Yom Tovim, I want us to think together, and by all means, feel free to use the chat room to share your thoughts. But we have to begin asking ourselves the question, what experiences do I want, and what experiences do I feel I can safely enjoy? I also have to ask the question, what preparation will yield payoffs? What can I do now, investing the time and energy that is going to feel better when Yom Tov comes around? I also have to evaluate whether it is better for me to attempt old rituals in new ways or create both Torah and COVID-compatible new ones. And finally, what will my mantra be? What am I going to say in my head over and over and over again through this Yom Tovim season? Our colleague, Dr. Pelkovitz, says all the time that so much of how we feel has to do with where we put our attention, and that the word simcha is an easy anagram of sim moach, of where we put our brain, where we put our mind. And so as we enter the Yom Tov season, we have to think about, what is the mantra? Am I telling myself, oy vavoy, it's not the yontif I wanted. Oy vavoy, I can't be with my great aunt Sadie or my bubby this or my sister or my kids. Or is our focus going to be, what gorgeous weather? And we're all healthy wherever we are. We are all healthy, which is, by the way, no small thing these days. Typically, when we think about the Yom Tov season, we think about family togetherness. But as you can see, I've put a question mark, because for many of us, it is not going to be a Yom Tov with family togetherness, or the family togetherness may be a very small segment of the family. We have to recognize that enforced togetherness can be challenging, but so can isolation. When we are together with multiple generations, we have multiple needs. What makes for an enriching, engaged Yom Tov for a 60-year-old is different than what is engaging for a 6-year-old. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight is, how do we balance together and alone time, even if the togetherness is just, you know, one other person who's in your household? Thoughts I'm going to talk about before Yom Tov, during Yom Tov, and then the aftermath. So some thoughts and resources for before. What are we reading in the next week or weeks as we approach the Yom Tovim? And might we even create connection across a distance and engage family members through a book club? If we are all reading the same book or article on tshuva, if we circulate something amazing that we saw for different ages, and we get together on Zoom and we talk about it, or on the phone, what a wonderful way to create connection and to go into Yom Tov thinking about, literally, that we may be far apart, but in some ways we're on the same page. Think about how we engage our artistic, creative side, and how we decorate our homes, our sukkot, with various objects, and I've given you coloring pages, but there's I think I have another slide with a lot of resources on different projects and wonderful ideas on things that one can do from the artistic side. You know, so much of Jewish celebration is done with food. So think about what foods are you going to prepare or buy or purchase that are going to contribute to your Yom Tov? And are foods a way to connect? I sent an email today to my daughters-in-law to ask for some recipes as a way to connect. And I immediately got jokes back from the family about you're cooking already. You always do things so early. So it was a way to just start our funny family competition about who cooks early, who cooks late, who cooks too much, etc. But I know families who have done actual cook-offs. I know families who have done take-offs on Chopped competitions where, okay, you've got an apple and a honey. Apple and honey are your two ingredients, and you have to make something. You can use other ingredients, but it must have an apple and a honey and then other things from your kitchen. Go. And then we'll have judging afterwards, even though we can't taste everybody's goodies. We can judge how they look and the idea. Lay in supplies. We have to think about what do we get? What do we need in our homes? Yom Tov friendly supplies. What books do you want to read? Make sure you have them from the library. You've purchased them. Do you need that are going to help you be prepared for Yom Tov? And finally, before Yom Tovim come, what are the actions and activities that we might engage in that allow us to feel connected to families? Do we want to go together with family members for socially distanced apple picking? Do together with family members, we want to do a learning project or a chesed project online or raise money together that our family from all over the world has each contributed a small, you know, pre-Yom Tov tzedakah, but we're doing it together and a way of building connection and also of getting people engaged. Some specific ideas and resources. I told you I would have this. PJ Library has not only holiday books for children, but they have a do-it-yourself Rosh Hashanah website for parents, PJ Library. Do-it-yourself Rosh Hashanah cards, especially if you have young children in the family, making prints with apples. All you have to do is slice an apple in half, put a little bit of paint on it, and stamp it onto a paper. They make wonderful prints and cards that you can send to loved ones. Think about making your own shofar, whether it's from, and I don't mean from a ram's horn, I mean for children, out of a toilet paper tube, out of anything you have in the house. We've talked about apple picking, challah baking, making Simchat Torah flags, making candy bags, sending candy in the mail, sending things in the mail, or arranging deliveries as a way to stay connected. I've given you a picture of two craft ideas I thought were very intriguing for sukkah decorations. One is popsicle stick, star garland, and the other is a CD pomegranate with just a little bit of a crown added on the top and then ripped up pieces of red paper glued on. And they hang in your, you know, they have a hole right in them. They hang in your sukkah, spin around, and are a wonderful family decoration. And also think about, I've done this before. We did this, my family, on Hanukkah when we were not together. We did a picture contest. You had to take a picture of yourself eating some Hanukkah-related food. So imagine a way to connect with family, even if you can't be together, and a way to engage people from all different parts of your family by saying, make a decoration for your sukkah and take a picture of it and share it with the family. Some other resources for the reading and some of these crafts. I've given you lots of materials here. YU Torah is filled, as is Chabad, with many things you can learn. I've given you a copy here of a wonderful resource that Momentum has developed. These are print-at-home cards. I've just given you one example of the shofar card that gives you some information and raises a question. Some of the questions are reflections like this. What's one wake-up call you had this past year? What might you be called to wake up to in the coming year? Some of them are less reflections and more actions. Some of them have to do with foods. So there, you can print the whole deck of them at home and use them on, you know, do one a day, one a week with family members as a way to engage everyone. And also, some of these would be very useful on Yom Tov with the group that you have together at your Yom Tov table. I've given you crafts again from PJ Library and from Judaica.com for sukkah decorations, as well as a website called High Holidays at Home, which is filled with resources for families in anticipation of the holidays. One of the things that we cannot forget as we enter the Yom Tov season and we think about how do we engage with our families, how do we have an enriched holiday, is the basic biology. We have to remember that we are not our best selves when we don't sleep. And in Yom Tov, even if we weren't in Corona, in Yom Tov, often our sleep pattern is disrupted. We are not on our typical schedule. So think about how you can do your best job at getting sleep. We also don't eat normally on Yom Tov. Heaven knows we Jews, I don't know that we ever eat normally, but on Yom Tov especially, we really, we do it up well. And think about how, the carb-heavy meals and the sweets and the heavy meals may be impacting us. And to the extent that it is medically, halachically, corona-wise, safe, think about physical activity and exercise and how they serve as the brain's natural endorphins, the brain's natural stress busters. So to the extent that we include them in our before, during, and after holiday menu, it will be helpful. Okay, what about during Yom Tov? How do I have a rich, engaging Yom Tov when it's Yom Tov, when I can't pick up the Zoom or the phone and connect with someone? And I think we have to realize that shul is going to be different. And we have to manage our expectations. I think that it is so much better to be pleasantly surprised than horrifically disappointed. And so if we go to shul, I know my shul today sent out the same notice that they send to the Balei Tefillah. They wanted all of the Kehillah to know that they have told the Balei Tefillah what they can't do and what they need to do quickly and where they can't spend time and where they can engage the Kehillah in the davening. So that nobody would come to shul A and be disappointed, but B yell at the Baal Tefillah. But it helps to be prepared and to think about what will I personally bring? What will engage me regardless of what happens around me? And in some ways, in the past 6 months, my davening chair is actually right behind me in this room. It's where I sit when I daven on Shabbat. And I've had incredibly powerful, inspirational tefillot in that chair. And I'm asking myself, how do I go to shul and say, place didn't matter. When I was davening at home, I was able to be inspired and have genuine dialogue with Hashem, to have genuinely pour my heart out. It will not be any different in a tent or a shul or wherever I am fortunate enough to daven. It is not the surroundings that are going to inspire me. It's what I carry with me. So managing those expectations and realizing that the moments of rousing song, the moments of for Simchat Torah, my shul's minhag, for Kol Na'arim, our shul made a giant talis, talisim, sewn together with every child's name in the community written on it, inscribed on it. It's a magical moment. It won't happen this year. It is not safe to have hundreds of children smushed together under a talis. So I know that those will not happen. But again, in the same way that I said, what's my mantra? My mantra is, it's not gone forever. We're on hiatus and it will be back. Please God, I will daven b'mehera b'yomeinu, it will be back. Mealtimes, how do we enrich our mealtimes? What traditions do we again keep? And what new traditions, because we may be smaller groups, some of the things that we may have extended our minhagim because an in-law was at the table, or a married child brought it to our table, or a child brought it home from school, may not be happening. So is this an opportunity to begin a new tradition? It certainly is an opportunity, especially if our tables are going to be smaller, to get, and it goes to preparation, to think in advance, what do I bring home? What do I have ready to begin serious, important, and enriched and wonderful discussions? Start looking for things and squirreling them away. It may be a little bit hard, but don't discuss them now. Put them in the bank. Say, I'm saving this for Yom Tov. I'm not going to talk with my spouse about this great article I just read, or this question I have on something in the Yom Kippur or the Rosh Hashanah. No, I'm going to wait and I'm going to discuss that. I'm going to bring it to the table and talk about it there. It is so important that we have reasonable expectations for the varying ages that may be at our table. It's wonderful to say we're going to have an enriched discussion about the ins and outs of tshuva and the metaphysical conceptualizations of whether man can truly change. Yeah, that's really nice, not for a six-year-old. And if you're going to have a discussion of tshuva with a six-year-old, which you certainly can, think about something that's going to be about 5 minutes or 10 minutes long, and about a mealtime that's not going to be 3 hours, where I expect that my child's going to be at the table just listening. And the same, by the way, may be true of older members of our family at the table. They may not have the ability to sit for long periods of time. They may be more comfortable with briefer discussion. So we have to think about that. And finally, during Yom Tov, there will be free time. There will be free time because for some of us, shul time is curtailed. There will be free time just because even on Yom Kippur, many of us have at least a minimal break, but on Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Simchat Torah, we will have free time. We have to think about how do we spend that free time both within and beyond our household, again, keeping in mind what is absolutely safe. Someone made a comment to me the other day, and I hadn't even thought about it, a joking comment about, yeah, I'll see you at the mob scene at Tashlich. And I realized, oh, yeah, I mean, I never went to Tashlich with the mob scene. I always did it separately on my own. But, right, there are people who part of their plan for the day will include Tashlich. And this year, probably not necessarily going to happen. So we have to think about within our household and beyond, are there families that we are in a pod with? Are there families that in a socially distanced way we can arrange a play date, a walk over, a get together, if not to share a meal, because that does not feel safe. If we are blessed with good weather, that we sit in our yards or on our porches or on our stoop, socially distanced, and we just connect. And in the same way, we have to think if we are blessed to be spending our Yom Tov with a group, with a family group, how do we find some alone time? How do we find some quiet time? These are days when we should be engaging in personal reflection and encouraging other family members, giving them the time to do so as well. How do we create that space and that blend? And what about after Yom Tov? Both, you know, we're going to have a whole bunch of befores and afters. We have before Rosh Hashanah, after Rosh Hashanah, before Yom Kippur, after Yom Kippur, before Sukkot, after Sukkot, before Simchas Torah, and then after all the Yom Tovim. The challenge when we're in the midst of all the Yom Tovim, and particularly in staying engaged and staying connected with people, is how do we keep up the pace? It's wonderful. We have our family Zooms. We have our family before Rosh Hashanah. We did our cook-off. But now I'm frantic getting ready for the next Yom Tovim. I don't have the time to stay. It's easy to say I don't have the time to stay connected. realize that for many of us, those connections fuel us. They give us the strength to keep going. And so you may have to lessen your investment and say, we used to have an hour-long family Zoom. We used to play a whole game on Zoom. We're not going to do that, but we are going to have a touch base, a get-together, because it helps grandma, or it helps Zadie, or we just want to touch base and see everybody. I like to think about, at the end of each Yom Tov, what have I packed in my Yom Tov suitcase? What have I packaged from this Yom Tov that I'm taking with me? Obviously, in the Yomim Noraim, the concept is there. We are not supposed to say, Rosh Hashanah, book's closed. Okay, I'll connect with you again on Yom Kippur. No, those are 10 days where all of our davening from Rosh Hashanah should echo in our minds. But in the same way, how we stay engaged with family, if we were in a reading group, if we were learning something, how do we continue that? And if we began a family pastime or a family project, might we consider, is this something that we are going to reinvigorate for Thanksgiving, for Hanukkah, whether we're together or not? Maybe every Yom Tov, our family does a chesed together, whether we're in the same place or not. What am I carrying forward, both in terms of my thought processes, what I learned, some feelings that I'm packaging and keeping with me, as well as what are the traditions, the actions, the behaviors that I'm going to carry forward? And in that same way, how do I think forward? How do I say, not this was the year that we put Yom Tov on hold, this was the year that I just scraped by Rosh Hashanah? How do we say, what will I do at the end of Rosh Hashanah? What will I look backwards and say, now that's something I should do every year? That's what we should be looking for now. You know, how will we say goodbye to our sukkahs and say, that's something that should be part of my sukkah observance every year? That was really meaningful. And they may be, again, they may be learning, they may be a private connection with someone, they may be reaching out to someone, they may be a chesed project. I don't know what it will be for each one of us, but I hope we will think forward and think about how we carry our traditions forward. As we look forward, as we look ahead, again, conclusions and just reminders, think about the challenges that you're likely to face. Think about the hard parts for you. What is going to be difficult? Again, and for me, one of the hard parts, be honest and self-reveal, the hard part for me is that my husband and I will be spending the third Yom Tov in the cycle with none of our children with us and none of our grandchildren. And I have to create a workaround for that. I have to, in my mind, my mantra is, for my davening and for my spiritual being, it, in a way, it allows a focus. There's nobody I have to get home and worry, did they feed? I don't know, did I feed them? Did I get the right foods for them? I don't have to make beds. I don't have to work. In a way, it has streamlined my Yom Tov and allowed me to focus on my own spirituality. But it's also caused me to think about, what reading will I bring to shul? What will I have with me? What do I want to infuse my davening, so that I am not focused on who's sitting next to their grandchildren and who is blessed to have their children with them. And one of my workarounds is that all over my house, it started Pesach and I've never taken them down. My Pesach minhag is to cover my glass cabinets that have chametz behind them, chametz dishes, to cover them with pretty wallpaper. But for Pesach, I covered them with pictures of my grandchildren and my children. And they're still up, but I'm going to rotate the pictures. They've grown in 6 months and I'm going to put up new pictures for Rosh Hashanah. And I'm probably going to take pictures I'm going to take pictures with me in my matzah, just so that when I'm davening, I feel like my children and grandchildren are with me. Lay-in supplies, preparation pays. An ounce of prevention is worth 10 tons of cure. Don't go into the Yom Tov saying, oh, I probably have something in the house that could keep me busy on a rainy day. No, go buy a puzzle or get the book that you've been, splurge, buy the book that you've been waiting for, or borrow it from someone, and start family, start now thinking about the next family opportunities, even if it means thinking about the summer, thinking about next year at this time, all that will, please God, be possible, and all the ways that we will be able to have enriched and engaged Yom Tovim, Bezrat Hashem, together next year. I'll take any comments or questions in a moment. I'm going to stop sharing the screen. Next session, we're going to talk about the themes and big ideas in Yom Tov and how they create what are the teachable moments and themes that we want to bring into our family in a big way. And again, our family, whether they're 2 or 22. I've given you my website there, but also my email, be in touch, is rona.novick@yu.edu. Let me stop sharing. And anybody have questions or comments or thoughts that they want to share either by unmuting or in the chat room, please do so in our last few minutes. Well, then I will wish everybody a ketiva v'chatima tova, although I'll wish it to you again next week, really right before Yom Tov. We're right there. And wish everybody to stay safe and stay well. And we'll see you all, please God, next week. Good night, all.